Good morning, everybody. How are you today? Awesome. You've done the best so far out of any service. Good job. Happy Mother's Day to all of our moms. So we're so grateful for all of you. Yeah, you can clap your moms again. Yeah, I know you already did it, but you know what? They deserve a double clap. Good job. I was actually thinking this morning about my mom because she's not with us today. She's in heaven with Jesus. But I was thinking about some of the things that I remembered growing up as a kid and that I really appreciate about my mom. I feel like I got my love for life and laughter from my mom. You know, she was super fun person to be around. She was a practical jokester. I think my son Gabriel got that from her. But one of the things I always remembered was when I was a kid in high school, she used to always say when I moved out that she would miss when I would come in at night, because they would always be asleep because I'd come in late, and I would give her a kiss on the forehead. And being a Christian kid, a Christian teenager in the 90s, you're supposed to wear Christian t-shirts and gold necklaces. It's just what you did in the 90s. And so I had this gold Jesus head necklace, the bigger the better, the more spiritual you were. And yeah, you guys don't know your history well. This is what you're supposed to do in the 90s. And so I would lean over to give her a kiss at night, and my necklace would always like hit her in the head and wake her up. So, and then when I left and moved out, she's like, I'm gonna miss getting bonked in the face by Jesus every night, you know? And I was like, sorry, Mom. I guess Dad could lean over and like doink you on the head. I guess it'd be fine. But anyway, so we love our moms, whether they're with us or whether we're waiting to see them again one day. We're so grateful for our moms today. Real quick, next week, Marie and I are gonna do a tag team service on marriage and doing an adding value to different ingredients to have a happy and successful marriage, which I'm really excited to share the stage with Maria. That alone is a miracle every time that we do that, because I don't like to share the stage with anybody. I have a lot to say, and I say things very fast, so for me to share it with anybody. If you believe in miracles, next week you're gonna see a miracle when you see Maria and I do this together and still be happy with each other when we're done. So we gotta do it 3 times. We can do it, honey. I know we can do this. So she's fine. I'm the one that has issue. I'll spend all the time, and then I'm like, okay, you got 2 minutes to talk. I'm gonna talk, you know, just because I'm just talking all the time. But then lastly, I wanted to give you an update. How many of you wanna know what we raised for the orphans last Sunday? Anybody wanna know? Absolutely. So last week we raised an offering for 55 orphans in Thailand. We felt like the Lord told us to partner with this ministry with Todd and Julie Powers, and we needed $10,000 to educate them for a full year. Well, last weekend alone, you raised $10,266. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. So we will educate all 55 kids for a full year and probably an extra 30 minutes, because that's $266 is there. So we're already into the next year, so isn't that great? We're already 30 minutes into the following year. All right, grab your Bibles and stand up, and we're going to pray together, all right? Let's hold our Bibles up, give God's word first place. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, we come, we open our hearts to you, we open our hearts to the word. We believe if the word says it, we can do it. Lord, we've come today not to hear just a message or words or speech, come to hear from God. And Lord, we ask that you transform us, help us to do everything you say we can do. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say a big amen. All right. You have your notebooks with you today?
Yes.
All right. Open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. We're talking about relationships still. We're in that series called This Is Us. And today, I want to talk to you about family relationships, being that it's Mother's Day. Now, the tools I'm going to give you today will help you in all relationships, as I believe they all those tools would work in any other relationship. But I'll focus using my illustrations primarily on family relations. So spouse, mothers and fathers, children, siblings, grandparents, that kind of thing. I think it'll really kind of help maybe in some of those areas. But again, these same principles will work in any relationship that you desire to have a good, solid relationship in. So to start with, I want to give you two biblical principles that maybe you've not thought about in the area of relationships, but I believe these principles are foundational to so many areas of our life. And so I want to help you start by building these other relationships with these two biblical principles. The first one is found in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be misled, the Bible says. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Please underline that in your Bible. You will always harvest what you plant. You might be familiar with the phrase. You can write it in your notes. You will reap what you sow. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. Those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. Please underline that. Doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good. Underline that again. We should do good to everyone, especially those in the household of faith. So we're to do good to everyone. Say everyone.
Everyone.
Everyone. All right, and then especially those of the household of faith. So let me just unpack that a little bit as our first principle. You will reap what you sow. You will reap what you sow. Now, I remember hearing this as a kid growing up, and it was, God is not mocked. You know, man will reap what he sows. If you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap destruction. I mean, I remember hearing that very clearly as a kid. And that was kind of the way I was bent on that verse. It was kind of like, if I do something bad, something bad's going to happen. I'm going to reap the consequences of the bad things that I've done. And I was very confident that if I sow those seeds, I would reap the bad fruit of those seeds. But I want to help you today, in case you've not seen the other half of that verse, which is actually a promise. The promise is this: if you sow and you obey and you operate in the ways of the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap the fruits and the benefits of the Spirit life. Amen? And so if you can have confidence that if you sow the negative, you're going to reap the negative, you can have equal, if not more, confidence that if I sow and act according to the ways of the Spirit, I will reap what the Spirit says I'm promised to reap. Somebody say amen to that. Isn't that good? Sometimes it helps us to see the balance of those things, to see the impact and the commitment that God has to those things. But we don't realize that we have so much more confidence in the bad things happening than confidence in the good things happening. Again, you will reap what you sow. Some translations actually say a man's harvest in life is linked completely to the seeds he sows. Today, in talking about relationships, I really want to focus on your seeds and your harvest. That's something the Lord gave me a few months back that I have not been able to shake from me, and it's just this strong principle that my harvest is linked to my seed. My seed equals my harvest. My seed equals my harvest. And the Bible here even talks to you about what the seeds are, because it unpacks it. It says, when you have opportunity to do good. So your seeds are the way you treat other people. Your seeds are the good deeds that you do, the way you choose to operate in the things of the Spirit rather than going to the temptations of the flesh, the way you treat other people in the good that you give them. Those are your seeds. So if you're writing down, what are my seeds? Write down, my seeds are the way I treat people, what I do. Now remember, we said this in the last message that I taught, in regards to relationships, the only person, whether it's a spouse, children, parent relationships, people at work, the only relationship that you have control over, the only person in that relationship you have control over is
you.
And the Bible says here that your seeds will link and equal your harvest. I can't control the seeds other people sow into my life, but I control the seeds I sow into my life. When someone sows a bad seed into my life, I have a choice. I have a choice to take their bad seed and the harvest they want to produce in my life, or I have a choice to sow the right seed and believe God for a better harvest. See, it's my seed, my harvest. It doesn't matter what seeds the devil tries to sow into my life. It doesn't matter what negative people and the way they treat me, the works they do. It's about my good works as I have opportunity. I do not want to be overcome by evil, but I can overcome evil by doing good, the Bible says. And so I just want you to say that after me. My seed, my harvest. My seed, my harvest. The only person in a relationship you have any control over is you. In this world, people are going to hurt you. Some of the people that were meant to give you the most love have disappointed you. Some of the biggest hurts we have are because we thought we could trust someone and we couldn't. We understand that. But we have a choice. We have a choice to sow the right seed in that moment. And so when we're talking about relationships, we're talking about your spouse and your kids and your parents and neighbors and people around you, I want us to focus on the seeds that we're sowing. Not focus on what they did to me. We live in a world that focuses on what they did to me. And that keeps us in a victim mentality. That keeps us in a place where we're enslaved by what they created rather than empowered by what we can create by obeying God. Does that make sense? We have a choice. The truth is you're going to sow a seed. You're either going to sow the right seed or the wrong seed. You're not going to be stagnant. You're not neutral. When something happens to you, you're either going to choose to step towards the flesh side seed or you're going to step towards the spirit side seed. A seed will be sown and a harvest will be produced. Amen. So let's go to principle number two. Principle number two is in Luke chapter 6. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. My seed, my harvest. My seed, my harvest. It's more about what I'm doing. That's what we're talking about today. What do I want to be? Who do I want to be? What seeds do I want to sow? I have the power to sow seed. Luke chapter 6. Now this goes along with that concept. Jesus even unpacks it a little more, gives us even more definition to it. Here's what he says. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. But to you who are willing to listen. How many of you are willing to listen? Raise your hand. I'm willing to listen. Okay, good. I say, love your enemies. Do good. See, there's those seeds. Remember we said that and I made you underline it twice. Do good. Those are your seeds. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek. Do you know how hard that is for an Italian to even read out loud? It's distasteful even to my mouth as I say it. Italians don't turn the other cheek. Why? Because we always know a guy. We know someone. I may not hurt you, but I know a guy. I would never violate the Bible that way, but I know a guy who would. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks, and when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. That used to be known as the golden rule. Anybody remember that? For some reason, I don't even know if the kids of this generation have even heard that phrase, the golden rule. But this used to be taught to us as children growing up. This is the way life was meant to work. See, in this world, in this culture, we do unto others in response to what they've done to me. We do unto them what they did to me. But that is not the kingdom way, that's not the spirit way, and that's not the seed linked to the harvest that God's trying to get into your life. It says, do unto others what you wish they would have done unto you, what you would have preferred them do unto you. And when you do that, you sow towards the spirit, and the Bible says, your seed, your harvest. See, when they did wrong to you, when they hurt you, see, these are enemies. These words that I even defined here of what made them enemies. Enemies could be so many difficult, challenging things. It could be they said something. They could have physically harmed you. They could have stolen something from you. It doesn't even say the enemies outside your family. It just says enemies. You know, sometimes the greatest enemies can't even be in our family lines, the people that hurt us the most. And the Bible doesn't classify this and just say enemies that are not in your family, because if in your family, understand that it hurts and then you don't have to forgive them. No, the word enemies just is anyone that's hurt you, anybody that's hurt you. And the Bible here says, though you may want to respond in likeness to what they did to you, choose a higher path. Sow a greater seed. Like I said, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by doing good. That's your seed into a better harvest. If you just react the way they've reacted to you, you're bound to the same chains they're bound to and the same cycles that they live in. You're bringing yourself into those same cycles. God is saying this to you not to your detriment, but to your freedom. Amen. This also means we have the power to do it. Remember about 10 minutes ago, I had you stand up and declare that whatever the Bible says, I have the power to do, I have the power to do. I did that on purpose. You can't get out of it. You've already said it. Which means I have the capacity to do unto them what I wish they would have done to me. Not what they did to me, but what I wish they would have, what I would have had them do unto me. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners do that much. If you lend money to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners lend money to other sinners for full return. Love your enemies. Do good to them. See, that's your seed. I just want you to link doing good to them and love is your seed. Did they deserve it? No, this is not about what they deserve. This is about your seed, your harvest. Did you hear what I said? Get your eyes off what they deserve and start planting seeds towards a better future for yourself and for your family and your family line, towards a harvest. Love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Your reward from heaven is very great, and you will be truly acting as children of the Most High, for he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. Isn't that, first of all, can we just say thank you, Jesus, for that? Because there was a time in our life we were unthankful and we were wicked, and he was still kind to us. But you know, he's using this as an illustration because we, as people, would give us all kinds of excuses to not love our enemies, to not treat them well, to not respond correctly because they deserve this, they deserve to be blown off, they deserve to be mistreated, they deserve my disrespect, they deserve my anger, they deserve my unforgiveness. But the Bible here, Jesus says that God's not like that. And remember, we're to be imitators of God, not imitators of the world. Somebody say amen to this. And again, we have the capacity and the helper of the Holy Spirit. God is himself inside of us, helping us both to will and do his good pleasure. Somebody say amen to that. That's a scripture as well. You have the capacity. And then I love this for the unthankful. You know, in my life growing up, and I know a lot of times I joke about my Italian background because it really can be that crazy. But the whole idea of unthankfulness, my mom was beautiful. My mom was a wonderful lady, but she was human as well. But my mom could have told you 20 years after our wedding who gave what and didn't give what to us as wedding gifts. Like, you think that's just in the movies? That's real, people. Okay? But the idea of giving to receive something in return, or giving if they're grateful enough, maybe let's think about our kids and giving to our kids and maybe they don't respond grateful back, or we're acting in honor and people don't honor us back, but we don't do it for what they are going to do back. We do it because that's the seed we want to sow. Somebody say amen. We want to do it because we're working on a better harvest. Amen. And so today, those are the two principles I want to build this idea of relationships on, is the concept of my seed, my harvest, you'll reap what you sow, but also do unto others as you would have had them do unto you. As you would have had them do unto you. You are the only person in any relationship that you can control. Open your Bible to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Proverbs, chapter 3. In thinking of, because I'm a very intentional person, and in thinking of the types of seeds I want to sow, the good works I want to sow, because I'm thinking about the harvest I want to receive, I ask myself a question a lot. What type of person do I want to be? What types of seeds do I want to sow? Sometimes we thoughtlessly sow all these seeds and we don't realize we're creating a harvest. Why not pay some attention to the kinds of seeds you're sowing into the ground? Because you want a specific harvest. Does anyone understand that? If you're a farmer, you don't just throw random seeds into a field. You have a very specific harvest in mind. So you can sow specific types of seeds because you want to live in a specific type of harvest. Proverbs chapter 3. So this is one type of good seed that I see that I want to sow into my life when I ask the question, who do I want to be? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3. The Bible gives us all kinds of examples of good seeds and good deeds that you can do, but this was one that caught my eye a couple weeks ago that I've been kind of meditating on and praying over and saying, these are seeds I want to sow. And the New Living says it like this: never let loyalty and kindness leave you. I know your translations may be a little different than that, but that's what I loved about the New Living. Is I loved the word loyalty and kindness. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Do you know, that's the kind of person, those are some of the seeds that I want to sow, because that's the kind of life I want to live. That's the kind of person I want to be. I want to be a loyal person, and I want to be a kind person. I want to sow loyalty. So let's think about our family relationships. I want to sow loyalty to my spouse. The opposite of loyal is disloyal. Well, what kind of harvest do you think you're going to receive if you're disloyal to your spouse? I want to sow loyalty to my spouse. I want to sow loyalty to my kids. I want them to know they can trust me. I'll be there for them, right? If I don't choose to be faithful and consistent and sow loyalty to my kids, what type of harvest do you think I'm going to have in future relationship with my children? Is this making sense? And not only do I want to sow loyalty to my kids and my family, I want to sow loyalty to the things that God put my hand to do, that I can be trusted with good works and I can be trusted to be faithful to finish the job and not be, you know, not be unfaithful to what God's called me to do. But also the word kind. I want to not only be a loyal person, I want to be a nice person. Be kind. You know, there's a shortage of nice people in the world today, and kind people. And when you find it, it touches your heart. I still want to be a person that opens the door for other people to walk through and enter the restaurant before myself. Isn't that nice? Does it just make you feel good to see that and feel that? I want to train my children to do that. The other day, we went to Maggiano's with the kids. It's one of our favorite restaurants out in Schaumburg, if you've not been there. It's really good spaghetti and meatballs, just saying. Anyway. But it was freezing outside, and it was packed in there. But it was fun. Myself and Gabriel, my youngest, we made a game out of opening the door for the people coming and going. There was no room in there anyway for us, so we're like, let's open the door for people and welcome them to Maggiano's. And so we're like, welcome to Maggiano's. Have a great dinner. Enjoy yourself this evening. We hope you have a delightful time. People are exiting. Thank you for coming to Maggiano's. People are like, you guys are great, you know. And here's my, you know, 9-year-old son, and he's like acting like the host of the restaurant. It was awesome. But I want to instill that in them. I want to be kind. If I'm not kind to them, how could I expect them to be kind to others? That's the type of person I want to be. Even if someone is rude, I want to be kind. I don't want to change into them. I want to create what God's told me I can create about who I want to be. Amen. And so I see that when I see never let loyalty and kindness leave you, tie them around your neck. I see an intentionality there. You tie those things to you. You decide those are seeds that are important to you. You decide those are actions that you're going to do on a consistent basis. God's not going to do that for you. No one else can do that for you. You make a decision and you say, those are things I want to sow because of the harvest I want to receive. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. See, that goes back to the harvest. If I'm sowing those good seeds of loyalty and kindness, I don't have to worry about the fruit of a good reputation and prospering with God and man, because those seeds create that harvest. See, sometimes people want a good reputation with God and man, but they don't focus on the seeds that would go there, like being loyal and kind. They're rude, they're arrogant, they're negative, they're complainers all the time, and they still want God and man to think they're amazing and to bless them and want them around. But see, they're not going to reap that harvest because they didn't sow those seeds. Is this making sense? You get your eyes on what harvest you want, but you need to make sure you're sowing the seeds that are linked to that harvest in your relationships. Treating people the way you would like them to have treated you, the way I would like the world to be. I know that it's not everybody's personality to open doors for people or to give people preferred seating or let them walk in front of you, but that's the world I want to live in. That's the harvest I want to produce. And so I want to help in doing those things. Again, your harvest is connected to the seeds you sow, not the seeds others sow around you. So what does the harvest look like? Write this down in your notes. What does the harvest look like? The harvest is going to look a lot like the love that you'll have in the future, in the next year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. It'll look a lot like the joy you'll experience in your future, a lot like the peace you'll experience in your future, the patience, kindness that you'll experience, the goodness that you'll experience, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. You say, Pastor Kevin, that sounds a lot like the fruit of the Spirit. I know, it's brilliant. Why is it the fruit of the Spirit? Because you're sowing and you're living and acting according to the Spirit's ways. And so I'm going to reap a harvest of those spiritual acts. I'm going to reap fruits and harvest from the Spirit. When I sow love, I will reap love. And I'm going to get to some of your questions. Immediately, I know there's little like things triggering in your head. Well, I remember loving somebody and they didn't love me back. I remember being kind to somebody and they didn't say thank you. I remember being joyful to somebody and they were mean back to me. I don't see this working out, Pastor Kevin. I sowed the good seed and I didn't get the good harvest. Would you just slow down a minute? Trust me, I will get there. Just chill. But we have to start with these principles first and understand what the harvest is going to look like. Linked to your seed is the harvest of. And the harvest will look like, if I'm loving, then I know somewhere in my life in the future there's going to be a lot of love still. There's a lot of love around me. If I'm creating joy, there will be joy in my future. If I'm creating and living a life of kindness, there will be kindness in my future. So now let me answer the question that you were asking quietly to yourself. What about that, Pastor Kevin? What about the love that I sowed and I didn't get love back in that relationship? Or the kindness I sowed and I didn't get kindness back in that relationship? Please tuck this into your mind. Write this down in your notes. You may sow good seed in one relationship, but end up reaping your harvest from a different relationship. See, because your harvest is linked to the seed you sow, not necessarily the field you sowed it in. See, the harvest is linked to the seed you sow, not necessarily the field you sowed it in. I know it doesn't make sense to us because in the natural, you put a seed in that field, you get a harvest in that field, but we're talking about spiritual ground. We're talking about spiritual dynamics. I may sow a seed in an individual of love. I may sow a seed of kindness to somebody in this field, and they choose not to receive it and choose to react poorly to it, but my seed was still sown. And somewhere in my life, God will send others to be my harvest of the love I did not receive from them, of the joy or the kindness I did not get from them. So get your focus off what those individuals are not giving you in return and focus more on what you can change, and those are the seeds that you sow, and you just consistently sow love and you consistently sow kindness and gentleness, and you will have people in your life. The Bible will prove true. You will have people in your life that are kind to you, that are loving around you. Again, it may not be those people, but you're going to have to let those individuals go. The Bible says, as far as it concerns you, live at peace with others. You can only do what you can do. You cannot change them, but you can do what you can do. And God will be faithful with the harvest in other places. But if I choose not to be loving because they're not loving back, if I choose not to be kind, then I'm sowing seeds of bitterness, anger, unforgiveness. I'm becoming a negative person. And you know what? There's not going to be the love in my future from other people because I'm sending off those same bad seeds. Are you understanding this? So we're literally running the good people away because we've chosen to become like the person that hurt us. Are you getting anything out of this so far? Of all the seeds we can sow, I've talked about a couple of them. I talked about loyalty. I talked about kindness. I want to talk about one final seed today and kind of expound on it for the next just few moments. I want to talk about a very specific seed. It's the seed of honor. It's a word that we don't use a lot anymore, but it's such a biblical word. And I want to talk about sowing seeds of honor today. I think our world could use a whole lot more people that know how to sow honor. Sowing honor, something to think about. Just something to think about. The seed of honor, sowing honor. Going back to being a parent, your parents, your children, your grandparents, you know, neighbors and people around you, just keeping things in mind sometimes, because I think we forget. Sowing seeds of honor. If you're a young person in the room today, one day you will also probably be a parent, and you will reap what you've sown and how you've created that relationship with you and your parents. It's important as a young person, you may not understand the responsibility of being a mom and a dad, but it's important that even as a young person, you begin to act in a way that's honoring towards your parents because you're sowing towards your future family and your future children as well. Does this make any sense? One day you will be a parent as well. And so it's important that we learn how to honor our parents. But in the same idea, I even think about the elderly. This really came into my heart this last week, and the Lord gave me a verse I'll share with you here in just a moment. But you know, some of us that are younger, and we live in a generation that really focuses on the young, do you know all of us will be one day the generation that's elderly? And the culture that we create now will be the culture we live in then. And if we don't train and teach our young people how to honor the elderly and why that's important, then we can't be surprised when we become older one day that nobody knows how to respect or honor us because we created that. We didn't take the time to help instill the right values and the right culture into those things. And I want to have a culture of honor. Amen? Yeah. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, the book of Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. Now let me tell you about Leviticus here. It's in the Old Testament. Leviticus, what was God doing? Leviticus is part of the law, the books of the law that the Jews were given, that God gave them. When they came out of Egypt, God was making a nation out of them. And making a nation out of them, he was trying to create a culture in them, okay? He was trying to put a DNA in them. So when you think about God's laws and God's commands and God's expectations, don't just think about it like regulation. Think about it like God trying to create generational blessing. God trying to create a culture. Do you understand that? So I want us to see those kinds of thoughts, those kinds of principles there. All right. The Bible says, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32. Stand up in the presence of the elderly and show respect for the aged. Fear your God. I am the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful verse? That touched me this last week when the Lord kind of brought it into I had never seen it that way before, and he brought that back to my attention. I was actually reading in some like Jewish texts, and they were talking about teaching their children how to honor the elderly, and this was the verse that they referenced, that through the generations, God expected them to teach the next generation how to honor the elderly. And so the Bible says, again, stand up in the presence of the elderly, show them respect. Now, I don't think necessarily our culture is going to change to the point that whenever an elderly person walks in, that everyone just rises to their feet or anything like that. But the idea is the same. The idea is to show them some level of honor for who they are. You know, they've invested their years into this world. Maybe they worked some career, some job. They raised children. They've done some things. And we live off of the lessons that they've learned. And we grow on the foundation that they've laid. And so we treat them with the respect they deserve. It should be our desire to make the elderly's life a little easier, try to help them to not have to work so hard in their years. And again, that's creating a culture that maybe one day people would be the same way towards us. I still love it. I love it when I walk into like a subway train or like a tram at an airport somewhere, and I see the seats are all full, and an elderly person will get on the train, and a dad or a mom will tell their two kids, hey, get up and make room for them. And you watch them do two things. One, they honor the elderly, but then they train the next generation to honor the elderly. Isn't that powerful? We have a power to sow these seeds to create a better future. You know, sometimes we give up on the future, but we've stopped sowing seeds. If we start sowing seeds, we don't have to give up on the future. Can somebody see this? The only reason we've given up is because we've quit our seeds. We've quit our job. That's the only reason why I would ever give up. So that's just one idea of honor. I love that, how you honor, and there's just a desire in those verses. There's a desire, there's a heart there to honor them, okay? Which is what I'm talking about today, to have a heart to honor these different people groups. Deuteronomy chapter 5, just take a right in your Bible a little bit and go over to Deuteronomy chapter 5. The Bible says this, and again, this is God giving the Ten Commandments to the people of Israel. And in giving the Ten Commandments, again, he's not just giving commandments, he's creating culture. The kind of culture he wants his people to develop, the kind he wants them to stick to. And so in the Ten Commandments, remember this is the top 10, this is God's top 10 list. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, he says, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you. Then you will live long, full life in the land the Lord God you're giving you. How many of you want to live a long life? Anybody? Yeah? About half of you. Are the rest of you ready to get out of here? Like, are you done? Not that bad. Have some hope, people. I mean, spring's coming. It's supposed to be 70 this weekend. I mean, come on. Whew. Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God commanded you, then you'll live a long, full life. I'm going to ask one more time. How would you like to live a little longer? Anybody? Live a little longer? Okay, good. Now, not just have years, but those years to be full. Raise your hand. I want them to be full of God's blessing and God's harvest in my life. He links it to honoring your father and mother. It's interesting that of all the Ten Commandments, this is the only one that's linked to an actual blessing on the other side. All the other ones, God says, just do it. Like, don't kill. It doesn't say, if you don't kill, I'll give you a cookie. Okay? It says, don't kill. You know, don't commit adultery. You know, don't steal. But in this one in particular, God says, look, you're developing something in your own life if you choose to honor them. Do you see that? Now, it doesn't say honor them if they were worthy of honor. It doesn't say honor them because they treated you correctly. It, again, when I think of honor, I think about more of myself and how I want to treat people and less how they deserve to be treated. See, so many times in our culture, we look to honor only those who've earned honor. And that's one way to look at it, but you can also look at it as the seeds that I want to sow. I want to honor people just because they're people. I want to honor people because that's my culture. That's who I want to be. Those are the seeds I want to sow. There are people that don't deserve the honor, but yet they're human beings made in the image of God, and I still want to show some level of honor, some level of the way I treat them, to treat them the way God would treat them. And the way he told me to treat them. Remember, turn the other cheek. Remember, even if they're my enemy, to go the extra mile. Remember these scriptures? It was like 20 minutes ago. I read them to you. Remember this? Okay. He was teaching us to do good. Why? Because he was teaching us how to create a harvest in our lives. Even if they mistreated you, you can break out of the harvest that they mistreated you with and you can create a better life. You can create a better future. But again, if you get stuck in that cycle of just treating them the way we feel they deserve to be treated, or ignoring them, or treating them harshly, again, you can take it out of the idea of your parents and just go into the idea of normal human beings. When we don't use the word parent and we just say enemies, we can kind of relate. Well, even if they mistreat me, I'm supposed to still treat them right. But the moment we put the label of parent on them, if they've mistreated us, then we've exempted them from those scriptures. That's not biblical. And like I said earlier, sometimes those that were meant to love us the most cause us the greatest amount of pain. But this isn't about what they did or didn't do. This is about you controlling your future. This is about you controlling your harvest. This is about you creating something better. Amen. Okay. Let's keep digging on this. So let me give you a better definition of honor. Not a better one, but maybe it'll help you. Because what does it mean? That word honor kind of been abused. You know, sometimes even a dads in family homes have misused the word honor, and they talk to their wife. They talk in disrespect and honor to their wife. You need to honor me. Or to their kids, you need to honor me. And that word honor can even like freak people out because it's been wrongly used. And so we want to kind of clarify it so that we can simply know how to do it. I think a simple word to help us know how to relate to people and to show them honor is a simple word of just called respect. Being respectful. Even though someone may mistreat me, I can still respond in a respectful manner. Jesus was beat. He was beard ripped out. He was lied about in front of the Pharisees. And the Bible says he held his tongue. Isn't that amazing? So we have the capacity to treat people in a way they don't deserve, and it's about the person I want to be, not the person that they're being. I want to sow seeds of respectfulness. You know, there are a whole lot of people I disagree with in the world. There's people I disagree with their politics. There's people I disagree with their religion. There's people I disagree with their lifestyle. There's people I disagree with the way they've treated me. But I do not want to be at the mercy of just living in response to all of them and what they do. I want to be a quality person. I want to sow consistent quality seed. And so I want to sow respect, even if you disagree with me, even if you don't believe what I believe, even if you mistreat me, ignore me, you don't thank me for things, you don't whatever, even if you don't believe what I believe, I can still disagree with you, but I don't have to be mean or disrespectful about it. I can show some level of respect because you're still a human being. Is this making sense? And so when I think of honor, and I think of honoring your parents, I think of honoring your children and honoring the elderly, I can still treat people to a certain level and standard. I don't have to say certain things that maybe that are here that I would have said, because the Bible says I have the power to not let any corrupt communication proceed out of my mouth, but I can speak only that which is good and edifying and helpful to those who hear it. And it doesn't say that that's only to the good people. I could speak those same things to my enemies as well. Amen. And again, the only person in any relationship I can control is me. I can't control them. So do I treat people with respect? Is that something you're consistent about? Is that you? Does that sound like you? Do you treat all people with respect? Because that's you sowing seeds all the time. That's you doing good all the time, like the Bible's telling us to do good all the time. The Bible gives us an example in 1 Kings chapter 12. Go there in your Bibles. This story came to mind while I was preparing this week. I had read it about a month or two ago, and it just came back. 1 Kings chapter 12. And it was about a guy who was given positional leadership as a king. And he tried to exert his position to receive honor because, hey, I'm positionally the king. You should treat me with honor. But what he was doing was he was dishonoring his people, the people that would actually do the work in his life, the people that were actually his subjects. And when you don't treat people with honor, then they're not going to be there. Okay, they're just you're creating your own problems. Maybe this is good for an employer in the room. You think, I'm the boss. I treat my employees like employees. Treat them like human beings. You'll get a lot farther. 1 Kings chapter 12. This guy's name is Rehoboam. He's the son of Solomon. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. It was Rehoboam's turn to become king. There was another gentleman named Jeroboam. Please don't get them confused. There's a Rehoboam and a Jeroboam. Jeroboam wanted to steal the kingdom from Rehoboam. but there was a moment of indecision, and this is that moment. 1 Kings chapter 12, Rehoboam went to Shechem, where all Israel had gathered to make him king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard of this, he returned from Egypt. So Jeroboam came to see what Rehoboam was going to do in his inauguration, basically. For he had fled to Egypt to escape King Solomon. The leaders of Israel summoned him and Jeroboam, and the whole assembly of Israel went to speak to Rehoboam. Your father was a hard master, they said. Lighten the harsh labor demands and heavy taxes that your father imposed on us. Then we will be your loyal subjects. So they're saying, we want to work with you. We just want you to respect us. We just want you to treat us with some level of decency, dignity, respect. Rehoboam replied, give me 3 days to think this over, then come back for my answer. So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam discussed the matter with the older men, there's the wisdom, who had counseled his father, Solomon. What is your advice? He asked, how should I answer these people? The older counselors replied, if you are willing to be a servant to these people today and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your loyal subjects. They said, look, if you won't just be a positional king, but you'll respect them, you'll show them some level of honor, and you'll be a servant-hearted king, which, by the way, you know, Jesus could have been a positional leader, but he said when he came onto the earth as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he put a towel around his waist and he washed his disciples' feet as our example of what real leaders do. Amen. They said, if you'll just be a servant king, if you'll just be one that shows respect and honor towards the subjects, not just want their honor back to you, but if you'll honor them, they will be your loyal subjects. But Rehoboam rejected the advice of the older men and insisted. Instead, he asked the opinion of the younger men who had grown up with him and were now his advisors. What is your advice? He asked them. How should I answer these people who want me to lighten their burdens imposed by my father? The young men replied, this is what you should tell them. Tell those complainers who want a lighter burden, my father's little finger is thicker. Wait, my little finger is thicker than my father's waist, which I guess was a real slam back then. Yes, my father laid heavy burdens on you, but I'm going to make them heavier. My father beat you with whips, but I will beat you with scorpions. Who would have thought this was a good advice? I mean, what? 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to hear Rehoboam's decision, just as the king had ordered. Rehoboam spoke harshly to the people, for he rejected the advice of the older counselors, followed the counsel of the younger advisors. He told the people, my father laid heavy burdens on you, but I'm going to make them heavier. My father beat you with whips, I'm going to beat you with scorpions. So the king paid no attention to the people. He gave them no respect. He gave them no honor. And in doing so, the Bible says the people left him and went with Jeroboam. So that's the idea of not creating honor based on a position, but the way you treat people, the way that you respect other people. Honoring your children. Let me just give you a couple of examples here. Honoring your children, honoring your spouse, honoring your parents, just real quickly. I can't give you all the advice because all of us are different in the room. You'll have different situations. But there is a way to honor your children, to show them a level of respectfulness, a level of respect. And a lot of times you'll see this in the younger kids when families have big decisions to make. And maybe some of you, like myself, when my parents were raising me, there was this phrase that children should be seen and not heard. Or if the dishes needed to be done, it was, that's why we had you, you know, that kind of thing. So, I mean, I know there was some joking in there. And that's fine. I mean, there's all part of the deal. But the point is that your kids have feelings and they have thoughts. And sometimes when big decisions are being made or things are happening in the family, we don't consider their feelings. It's not that you can adjust the entire direction of the family based on some of their wants or diswants, but at least letting them feel like they have a voice and they're being listened to and heard. Does that make sense? That they're not just little kids, they're young adults and young human beings, and you're raising them and you're teaching them how to respect and how to not just talk at them, but talk with them. Does that make sense? And they actually sometimes have some good ideas as well. And so you show them a level of honor and respect, and you teach that into the home. And if you ever do speak wrongly or you lose your temper or whatever, you yell or whatever, that you honor them by not just saying, oh, they're a kid, they'll get over it, but you honor them by going and apologizing to them like you would to any other human being. Is this making sense? Now, it was interesting during worship, and I'm going to take an extra 5 minutes here because I felt the Lord drop this in my heart in worship today. Some of you have a hard time right now because your kids are older, they're not little kids anymore, and now there's this weird friction between you and them as they're adult children, but yet they're still children. There's a way that God's going to help you relate with them and speak to them. And sometimes there's a letting them grow up that we have not let honored them in that. And we're still trying to treat them like little kids, and we've not realized that they're full-grown adults. Does that make sense? And we have to let them be adults. But at the same time, sometimes we're not honoring them because they're still trying to act like they're 8 years old and they're living in mama's basement at 55 years old. Come on. And we're not honoring them either. We're not showing them respect. We're treating them and letting, we're enabling them to be less than who they are. I didn't say that in any other service, so I don't know who's dealing with that, but there's a way to honor and treat them. And honoring them doesn't mean letting them walk all over you, and honoring them doesn't mean ignoring them. And if you do mistreat them, you honor them by apologizing and treating them like a decent human being would. Okay? And then spouse, how do I honor my spouse? Well, how would you treat anybody else? How would you show respect to anybody else? You let them have a voice. You hear what's in their heart. It's not just about you, is it? Just like you would show respect to other coworkers or other people, sometimes we don't offer our spouse the same respect. And we're just like, this is what I want. But yet, that's not how you get along in the world out there. Why is it the way you would get along in the house? What's their thoughts? What's their opinion? How is this going to affect them? I'm showing them respect. And I want to hear what they have to say. We make a decision together rather than imposing decisions upon them because I respect them. Is this making sense? Your natural parents. How do I respond? How do I respect, show honor to my natural parents? Those are all things God can give you wisdom for. Some of your parents earned lots of respect and honor. And may we do what we can as they get older to make their life easier. We can't do everything. We get that. We have to know what our limitations are. But we should do what we can. Can I hear an amen? May we not withhold what we can do. Okay? But you can't do everything. Now, in showing your parents honor, that doesn't mean letting your parents overstep their boundaries into your life either. Sometimes parents, like I said a minute ago, they don't know when to let go, and they stick their nose into your marriage, and they stick their nose into your children, and they stick their nose into everything, and they get a little nosy, and you got to move their nose out of your marriage. This is not your marriage. This is my marriage. Amen. Maybe you can't say amen because mom's with you at the... See, I get it. If you say amen, you're not saying amen about your mom. You're saying amen about the people's mom down there. Okay, I get it. I just realized why you weren't saying amen. I get it. Gotcha. I was wondering why that was such a quiet point. Very uncomfortable in the room. It's okay. But the point is there is a way to honor them. Having boundaries, not letting them put their nose in everything, that's not disrespecting them. It's being honest with them and being able to speak in a respectful manner, even in asking them to create those boundaries. I don't have to be rude. I don't have to be harsh. I don't have to be accusatory of them. I'm just creating boundaries and I'm sticking to them. I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad, but these are our boundaries. Does that make sense? I don't have to be disrespectful, but that doesn't mean just to let them... Honoring Mom and Dad doesn't mean to let them do whatever either, just like you wouldn't be with your children. And lastly, I want to talk about your spiritual parents. Because I believe in the kingdom of God, there's not just physical parents, but many of you have spiritual parents. And I just want to create a balance here in how to honor your spiritual parents. People who brought you to Jesus, people who've raised you or discipled you in the things of God. I do believe there's a culture of honor that we should have because we want that in the body of Christ for generations. We don't want to forget about people that brought us to Christ. We don't forget about people that discipled us. We want to honor them and keep them in our hearts and respect them some way, somehow. Now, I don't believe spiritual honor when it comes to your spiritual parents is this weird stuff that you see in some churches where it's like people are carrying the pastor's Bible everywhere and washing his car and like, what do you need, oh man of God? I don't need anything. I'm good. I can carry my Bible. It's all right. You know, but that's not even honor. That's just stuff. You want to know what real honor is when it comes to spiritual fathers and mothers in your life? Just like it would be for natural fathers and mothers. To see their kids walk in truth. To see you become the best version of yourself. To see you use the gifts and the callings and the anointings that God put in your life that they were trying to help you discover in the Word. To see you do those things to the highest level, that's honoring your spiritual father and mother. To sit there like a bump on the log and let all they poured into you go to waste, that's not honoring your father, spiritual father, and spiritual mother. Is that making sense? It's not about giving them a Fiji water and green M&Ms. It's about you becoming who God's called you to be. But also, if they ever did need help, if they ever did need prayer, if they just to be remembered, to give them a card or a call that you haven't forgotten about them, that's just decency, that's just kindness, that you still show some sort of value. Pastor Sam and Jeannie Mayo were my spiritual mom and dad, and they helped put Maria and I into the ministry, and I'll always hold them to a place of honor in my life. Pastor Mayo's gone home to be with Jesus. Jeannie's still around. She'll be here in August. And when they're around and when she needs anything, I still want to be available to say, can I help in any way? You know, it's been 20-something years since I worked for her or since she was my employer or whatever, but I'll honor her because everything she instilled into me, I'm still learning from. I'm still using that. I'm receiving from that today. Pastor Mayo, and I always called him Pastor Mayo. He never made me call him Pastor Mayo, but that's the way I wanted to receive him. If I receive him as common, he's common. If I receive him as someone special, he becomes someone special. I could never have imagined calling him Sam. Hey, Sam. He was Pastor Mayo to me. I mean, the guy was always in a suit, first of all. One time, I saw him behind the church running on the track. There was a big, we had a school, and there was a track behind the church, and he was wanting to get healthy in that season of his life, and it was summertime, it was hot, and he was in, like, sweats, and he was running around the track, and he had his shirt off. And I walked out and I saw him without a shirt on, and I felt like I had violated Jesus. Like I am so sorry that I beheld Pastor Mayo's chest. I couldn't even look at him. And he was trying to be kind. He was trying to talk to me. He was like, you know, he had a towel and he was like rubbing his sweat off. He's like, hi, Kevin, how are you doing? And I'm just like, oh, I'm good, Pastor. I'm good. But it's the way I treated him. You see what I'm saying? But when it comes to your spiritual moms, spiritual dads, I think that one of the biggest, two big things is just this. It's just become great at what God's called you to do. God used them to bring you to Christ. They instilled things. Go be great at that. And then number two, think about them every once in a while. Send them a thank you. Tell them you're praying for them. Ask, hey, is there anything you need? And if you can't help them with what they need, you can at least be praying for that need. Amen? Don't forget about him. The Apostle Paul was that way with Timothy. Apostle Paul didn't expect to control Timothy all his life. He set Timothy up to be a great leader as a young man. That honored Paul. Does that make sense? And then Paul always said, just don't forget about me. Keep praying for me. You know, just don't forget that way. And that's spiritual honor. So to remember, as I close, today is more about the person you wish to be rather than who deserves what. The only person you can control in any relationship is you. Why don't we go ahead and stand? Let's close in a word of prayer. Did you get anything out of that today? Awesome. Let's pray together. I want to pray this into our lives, and then I'm going to ask if you need to receive Jesus as well. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us to be a church that's really good at sowing seeds of honor. That God, there's all these key relationships in our lives, and there's a lot of hurt and there's a lot of pain in some of them. God, I just pray you help us to know how to sow the right seed and not respond in the way that our emotions or our hurt or our pain really wants us to. But God, we choose the kingdom. We choose the spirit way over it. Lord, we thank you. My seed, my harvest. Lord, we thank you that even if the harvest doesn't come from the field we were looking at, there's harvest coming because we've become and we've sown those seeds. Just I pray you help us to treat people the way we want to be treated. God, right now we forgive if we need to forgive some people. We lay those things at your feet. We ask you help us to forgive. We ask you help us to release them. And we ask that you give us wisdom on how to show kindness, honor, respect to the people around us. Help us be aware of how we come around, how we're acting, how we're speaking, how we're handling ourselves. Help us to be aware of our seeds. God, I give you thanks and praise for future awesome harvests. I give you praise in Jesus' name, amen.